up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, today is the day if you live in the southeastern part of the United States. Media days are here. Now, media days are a big deal, not because you'll finally hear Nick Saban tell you exactly what's going on with Alabama's program, or maybe Ed Orgeron will tell some fun story about some recruiting trip he had made for LSU, or maybe Dan Mullen really is going to break down how the Gators' defense are going to dominate the SEC East. Now, all of that's irrelevant. What media days are is the excitement. It is the gateway to the opening of the college football season. And that's really it. It's going to dominate the news cycle. All of the television, radio, newspapers, bloggers, anybody that does anything with this conference whatsoever in a huge region in the United States will descend on Alabama to talk to these players and coaches over the next 4 days. The Big 12 is kicking off their media day, too. That's going to be at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. That's how big it is. It's going to be in that stadium. But again, all of it is a gateway to the season. That's it. But the one thing that drives me nuts, and again, this is just media guy speaking media Lee here, and I know that's not a word, but you get my drift, is if you're going to hear about a program, if I want to hear from players on a particular from a particular school, I want to hear from the star players, the guys that are going to have an impact. This is no knock on any offensive lineman that has been a great asset to the program all 4 years that he's been there, and he gets really good grades, and he's a great student athlete, and he, you know, works at the old folks' home during the offseason. All of those things are fine. But I want to hear from the star athlete. And too many of these schools look at media days the wrong way. They look at it as more of an obligation, which it is, but at the same time, it is a way to promote your school and program. That's exactly what you want. That's why you go. That's why the conferences have them in the first place. The media doesn't necessarily need it. They can go around to schools. They can call up schools. They can arrange interviews. But here is a way for a school to meet a whole bunch of people in one day setting, so then they can get to the business of the season at hand. But we need cooperation sometimes. As much as I love those kids, I need the star, so bring the star.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, hit me up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Just got this one in from Big Mac. 18-game season, okay if. Shorten preseason by 2 games, add 1 more bye week, add more players to 53-man roster. It's still a contradiction in terms of player safety. Requiring players to sit 2 games is stupid, gets us right back to a preseason quality games. That's exactly right. This is why this is a dumb idea. I think Tony Dungy actually pointed this out. It's like fans would go crazy if you bought a ticket to a game and you went to the game and a number of players had to sit out. It doesn't mean all of the star players are going to sit out at once, but if your quarterback has to sit out 2 games, and some of those games are, I mean, every game's important, and you buy a ticket at those ridiculous prices, pay ridiculous parking, pay ridiculous concessions, but you feel like you're getting an important regular season game, and like Zach Mettenberger is playing, like I don't even think he's playing in the league anymore, but I'm just using him as an example. You'd lose your mind. Now, you could say, well, you know, in other sports, like, they don't guarantee you who's playing. Sometimes LeBron sits out. Yeah, I get it. But the NFL, you kind of understand in Major League Baseball that, you know, 162 games is a long season. Not every game, you know, guys are going to play every game. But you do expect that a healthy guy's play 16 games in the league. You know, Tom Brady's not a healthy scratch in week 13 for no reason whatsoever. I mean, injuries come and go. We accept that. Sometimes you buy a ticket in the summertime because, you know, like where I live, the Titans may be playing the Steelers or something. I might go, oh, I'm going to go to that game. Ben Roethlisberger might get hurt in week 7. I live with that. That's part of the deal. I get it. But if I go to a game, if I pay good money to go to a game and he's sitting out for no other reason than there's some stupid rule that says he has to because the season is now 18 games, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous. When it comes to preseason games, let me say this. I've said this for many years, so I'm pretty consistent with it. I'm not anti preseason games because I either watch them or I don't. I don't really care. And because they occur in August, you could have 10 for all I care. I really don't care. I just want the season to start when it starts. My biggest problem with preseason games is that you charge the same amount of money for that game than you do regular season games. Like in a season ticket package, you get 10 home games all at the same price. That's stupid. That's really dumb. That's my biggest complaint. If an NFL coach tells me he needs 2 preseason games to evaluate his roster, I'll believe him. If a coach tells me he needs 7, I'll believe him. To me, it's like, have as many as you want. I'll either pay attention to it or I won't. But when you get to the start of the season, everyone better be healthy and we better be good to go. If more and more players are dropping like flies in preseason games, then I'll want you to shorten it. Because that's the one thing about college football. They don't mess around. They get right to the game. Right? They don't play all these preseason games so Tua could get hurt and Alabama's season can go haywire. Trevor Lawrence is not breaking an ankle in some preseason game against Coastal Carolina. You know, it can happen in practice, yes. But he's not seeing live action, live game speed action until the first week of the season. But in the NFL, that always makes me nervous. You hear this all the time with coaches. What's a big takeaway from the game? Well, we're healthy. Okay, good. We're healthy. I mean, I don't even remember the score. You just make sure everybody's healthy. That's all you remember it for anyway. But I agree with this. It is a contradiction in safety. I mean, that's what it is. Like I said, if you're going to sell it, sell it. Sell it as 18 games. So if you can't, well, then you can't. The big thing is how, if I'm the players, if I were to agree to this, if I were the players, I want a bigger percentage of the pie. I mean, they're going to get more money anyway because the 18 games means you're going to get more money. So let's say you're a quarterback and you get a million a game. You make $16 million a season, just for simplicity's sake. So you make $16 million a season and you get $1 million a game. All right. So your game check is $1 million per game, right? I think the bye week you get paid too. So if you make $17 million, just go with me here. Well, if you play 18 games and you have a bye week and there's a 19 week season, you make $19 million, right? That's basically how you'd renegotiate. You'd make $19 million. But what I would do if I was the players, I would say like, all right, you want this 18 game season? All right, we know we're going to get more money because there's more revenue. But whatever percentage you were giving us, now we want 5% more. Like add 5% to the total pie. That's how I would do it if I was the players. If they want this, they'd have to give me something in return that's pretty huge. And then the owners might go, maybe not. Maybe 16 games is just fine. Maybe we'll do it that way. But I doubt it. If the owners had their way, they'd have a 25-game schedule. Are you kidding me? They'd have 30 weeks of playing NFL football. Just be like, no, it never ends. Season never ends. Keep paying those parking fees. Oh, this is great. But it's still a bad, I don't know, it's just a bad proposal. It's just so dumb. All right, so I have a question about college football going into this season that I'm looking at now, given that, yeah, there's a feel. We've had the playoff now for, what, 5 years? Right? The playoff is a thing we've all wanted for years and years and years, right? We got to have a playoff, got to have a playoff, got to have a playoff. Well, we knew we were never going to get a 16 game right out of the gate playoff. We might get some growth in that. It might go to 6 with 2 bye weeks. It could go to 8, although I really doubt it. But we knew we were never going to get some real convoluted, big-time, month-long, you know, 16-team, I should say, postseason in college football. If we were going to get it at all, it was pretty much going to be like this. But are we happy with this? Are we happy with how it's played out? Okay? The reason I bring this up is there's a feeling that there is a sense of inevitability with the college football season. That there's just going to be Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, or somebody from the Big Ten that is going to make the playoff. And that there isn't room for a team that comes up and really surprises us against those juggernauts that may stand pat. And what I mean by that is, If you have, like, let's say you have all four of those teams, and all four of those teams do what they're supposed to do. They're winning games and winning games by a lot. But then there is a team, let's say, that's coming out of, I don't know, the Pac-12, for example. And they're playing exceptionally well, but they started off the radar. Nobody really noticed them until maybe week five or six when they said, wow, look at what's going on. That team is really good. That team is really special. They really found their groove. But can they crack the Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson / Ohio State, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan bubble? Can they crack it? Do you have to be on the radar right away? So is college football playoff, is it working? Do we trust the committee? Right? Well, yes and no. Right? The problem that we have with the playoff is that they keep telling us they want the four best teams, regardless, no matter what. They want the four best teams. But we've seen them over the last couple of years sort of try to expand what that means, right? They've said, look, we want the four best teams, but my God, if we wake up one day and three of those teams are in the SEC, like we've really evaluated this and three of the teams belong in the SEC, well, we're not going to go down that road. Heck, if two of the teams are in the SEC, we don't really want to go down that road, but the, you know, even though they did it once before. There is this feeling that the committee doesn't want to be heavy in one area of the country or one region, one conference, even if that conference is producing excellence, right? It's sort of the SEC question in a way, because remember last year, everybody was screaming about Georgia. If Georgia didn't have to play Alabama in that championship game, they would have gotten in. If the season just ended before the SEC title game, they would have gotten in. The Big 12 doesn't play a conference championship game, or they will later down the road, but that was unfair. All of this comes down to the idea that the guys that are in that room that are deciding this, they're not really as transparent as I thought that they were going to be when this started, right? In terms of what they like and what they don't like, what's important to them and what isn't important to them. Schedule tough, we like that, but don't lose. Because if you lose, you can't trust that loss against a bevy of other teams and other losses. But my argument, my counter argument to this is going to be this. Do you really want it the way it used to be? For every complaint that we have about the committee, for every complaint that we have is exactly who is in this thing. What is the problem if Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, for example, are all the best teams in college football? And they are every year. What's the argument if Alabama and Clemson play each other again? That's what playoffs do. This isn't a rotation participation trophy sport. We're not supposed to give Central Florida an opportunity unless they've earned it, unless they clearly are one of the best teams in college football. And if a committee says they're not, under the circumstances, under the rules that college football is going by, they're not. We can argue it and debate it and have a good barroom conversation, but that's the way it is. I don't know what a solution would be other than expansion, but again, expansion comes with a cost too. I've told you this for many, 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 many times. I hear this complaint about the playoff, right? Ah, it's just going to be Alabama. It's just going to be Clemson again. It's just going to be Oklahoma again. Yeah, because they're good today. But you know what? You don't have to go very far in the history books to find a Dabo Swinney team getting throttled by West Virginia in the Orange Bowl. You don't have to go back that far. You don't have to go back that far when Alabama got into the playoff without even going to their conference championship and almost didn't get in then. You don't have to go back that far when some of these schools weren't within the top four. This is an ever-changing cycle. No, it isn't going to be Clemson and Alabama forever. It just might be for the next year or two or three. But Georgia is knocking on the door. There's going to be a really good Pac-12 team someday. There's really going to be another team in the Big Ten that may come up and surprise you. There's going to be that conversation. Maybe one day a UCF does go unbeaten and is outstanding. And you look at them and you say, wow, they really are good. And there's some quality wins there. I don't like it when we look narrowly and then project it all the way across the board. We look very narrowly and then we get very, very broad in how we take that. No, it doesn't last forever. Things do come in cycles. Some just feel like forever. It does feel like Nick Saban and Alabama have been good forever. But what do we want? Are we supposed to tell them not to recruit the best players? Are we supposed to tell Nick Saban not to put a system in place that gets guys to the pros and that's appealing to them? Like, how would you solve the Alabama greatness problem if you think that's a problem? There isn't any. So watch them and watch them go to the postseason and see what happens. And you know what? They don't always win the national title. There's going to be a time where Clemson, some ACC school is going to catch up to Clemson. It does happen. No, I don't think college football is busted up, but I also wouldn't mind just a touch of tweaking. I don't want you to, I'm not going to dismantle the whole thing, but I just want it a little better, just a little better than it is right now. But not a lot, because I think we're on the right track. All right, coming up next, again, SEC and Big 12 Media Days today. What are some of the things we'd want to hear from these conferences? That's coming up next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, known for our guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So as I mentioned earlier, it's the kickoff of the college football media frenzy. And you know what? There's one group. Those of us in the media have covered this. People don't like to hear us say anything negative. They don't like to hear us complain about this or that. For most of us, we go to these things. I've been to a few media days, different conferences. It's not the best work we do in the business because you get no answers and it's hard to get the quote. You sit there, you try to get the microphone in there to try to ask questions. It's hard. You try to get these guys one-on-one if you can. A lot of them are good about it. But nonetheless, you're just trying to feed the appetite of the public that's really wanting some college football information. But let me just say this. If you are a media guy, all right, and you go to these things, and you're asking questions of kids, all right, you're not going to get real honesty. You're going to get what you know, basically is publicity stuff. Stuff that guys just are cliched answers that they're going to say over a course of 100 questions that they're going to get over the day. So if you ask the outside linebacker for Florida today or the center for Texas, these same questions, you basically get the same answers. Oh, we look forward to the season, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's really tough. Now, when you get personal, that's when you can find a little bit more about them, right? Maybe they're talking about maybe a father had passed away or a father was very influential, or maybe their mother really was raising three kids by herself, or maybe there was an uncle that took a real interest in them as a kid, or there was a coach that recognized a special talent when nobody else did, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the kind of stories that you're looking for, the sort of the human side of the players rather than the old X's to know stuff. Most of this stuff, if you're getting into the nitty-gritty of the season, you're not going to get much. Everybody thinks they're awesome. Everybody works hard. Everybody is ready for the upcoming season. They're expecting big things, et cetera, et cetera. I was kind of joking with this last week. If you go to these things where the coach says, I'm telling you this year we're going to stink. I'm telling you this year it's not going to look good. If we're lucky if we win two games on the schedule, we got nothing. Absolutely nothing. You never hear that. Because it's about showcasing the school. It is about showcasing the school, and it's about showcasing the program, right? It's used as a recruiting tool as much as it is a media opportunity. You want the coach to be a little bit lively. You want the coach to be engaged. You want the coach to feel like he's putting together a team, exciting team, to get you excited for it. A lot of times you're just feeding the fan base that's already got an appetite for it, but a lot of times you're trying to make a little bit of a name out, use the media to put out your message, so maybe people would think you're a cool coach to actually play for, and maybe I should consider playing for you on my recruiting trips. You seem like a good guy. Some jokes will come out. Some of these guys will really ham it up for the television cameras, and some will slick back and just go, give you basic answers. But it is about showcasing the programs to get you excited about the season. And the season is, it does kick off with some really good games. It does start with a bang at times. It's a good weekend, right? You got games all the way through Saturday, even into Sunday and Monday of Labor Day weekend, when it owns the entire weekend, when the NFL is still ready to kick off in the next few days. It owns Labor Day weekend. It's an exciting time. And that's what these really are. Getting to the nitty-gritty. I mean, look, on Tuesday, Texas, for example, is hitting the podium. Now, I'm really curious about Texas because they beat Georgia last year in the Sugar Bowl, and everybody was like, they're back. All right, well, are they back? Tell me about what's going on. Tell me about some additions that you have. Tell me about the way you see your defense playing. Show me, Sam Ehlinger and the progression at quarterback. Same thing at Florida, for example. I've been touting Florida as a team in the SEC to pay attention to keep your eye on. Dan Mullen, what about Felipe Franks? He was being booed, for crying out loud, by the crowd. He turned his season around late. Do you believe that that's the guy you're getting at the beginning of the season? And if so, why? If you're going to promote him, why are you promoting him? Tell me what you want to see out of him. What has he done this offseason to make you think that that's the guy you're getting, not the guy that was being booed by Gator fans before he turned that season around? Right? Those are, even like you go to the bottom end of the SEC, you go to the teams that are really, that struggled a bit, tried to get something and didn't get anything. Vanderbilt went to a bowl game last year. They may be a bad example. But watch on Thursday when Derek Mason of Vanderbilt meets the media. Oh, God, you'll think Vanderbilt is like the next Clemson. That's the way they do it. And speaking of Clemson, shame on them for keeping Trevor Lawrence out of ACC Media Days later this week in Charlotte. Right? That's the guy you got to promote. That's the guy you should be taking. A lot of these coaches will be like, well, we're bringing our offensive lineman, Mike Johnson. He's got a 4.0. He's a great leader on and off the field. And this is his reward for four great years. Oh, great. Where's your quarterback? Where's the guy that's probably going to have the Heisman Trophy at the end of this season? Where's that guy? Where's your true freshman that stepped in five games into the season and had one of the best careers of a true freshman quarterback in the history of college football? Where's that guy? Because it's awesome to talk to a guy that, does all these great charitable works during the offseason and has a 4.0 in biochemistry and is probably going to figure out a cure for the common cold someday. But I really want to talk to the long-haired kid who helped you win a national championship at 18 years old. That's the real reason I'm here. I mean, I'm not here to promote some kid who's like some political science major and may run for president in 20 years. I'm here to talk to the guy that may be hoisting up all the hardware when this is over, including a national championship. I mean, Dabo's, I understand Dabo is a big time with that. He does that all the time, right? He loves to talk about the guy that just works hard in the trenches you've never heard of. Fantastic. How about I talk to the guy I have heard of? All right, the guy I really want to hear from. And that's what you're going to hear a lot this week. I mean, Oklahoma, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is bringing Jalen Hurts to Big 12 Media Days. I mean, like, yes, of course. If I'm going to do a story on Oklahoma, if I'm going to talk about the Sooners' upcoming season, he's a transfer going into that program to work under Lincoln Riley, who's produced back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. Yes, of course I want to talk to Jalen Hurts. That's the story. If you bring me the punter and he's like fed every single homeless person in the state of Oklahoma in a 3-day period, that's a great story. But the transfer from Alabama is the bigger one. I mean, at Media Days, at least, it's the bigger one. There's plenty of time to do he got a 4.0 in biochemistry. There's plenty of time to do that during the season. There is plenty of time to promote that. There is plenty of time to highlight that. There really is. I mean, believe me, when you write for these schools, when you cover these schools, there is plenty of time to do a sidebar story on an excellent student athlete that may be doing something bigger than football. But at Media Days, it's about football. That's really it. It's unfortunate, but that is it. Bring your stars, coaches. Bring your stars. It says SEC Media Days kicks off today, Big 12 today. Later on this week, ACC, Big 10. It's all coming up this week. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Ron Culver's still on vacation. Bobby, did you know we're heading into the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing?
No, I didn't know that.
That is coming up on the 20th. The launch of the rocket is 50 years ago tomorrow. Just a little history lesson, Bobby Beats.
You learn something new every day.
There you go. What a weird... I wish I was alive during that time. That's still... I saw a movie about this, First Man. It's about Neil Armstrong. It starred Ryan Gosling. And what I was amazed with is the amount of courage it must have taken for those three guys, Michael Collins, Buzz Aldrin, and Neil Armstrong, to get in a rocket ship and go to the moon. In the back of their head, they must have thought, we ain't coming back. Like, if one thing goes wrong, we ain't coming back. We're just going to do this for science, a country, and see if we can make it. But deep down, they must have thought, I'm not coming back from this. I'm going to the moon. We don't know how we're going to get there. But all the science that went behind it was like, it was, you know, they had all of these geniuses working behind the scenes to make sure that this went off smoothly. And they did. They went to the moon and came back, which is just, in 2019, seems like, yeah, big deal. Go to the moon and back. I bet in 1969, that must have felt like it was impossible to the average person. To the average worker working in the factory, you know, working in the coal mines of West Virginia, working in an auto plant in Michigan, just doing their job every day, feeding their families, taking care of their kids. And then you find out, oh, these guys are going to the moon. That must have felt like science fiction. Like, there's no way we're going to the moon. And they did. They did. Came back. But anyway, First Man was a good movie. I would not recommend it, though, if you're looking for the real, a real sort of take on Apollo 11. If you're really looking for a movie that really gets into the real nitty gritty of how this, it does talk a lot about it. Obviously, it's a big part of Neil Armstrong's life, but it was more about Neil Armstrong's personal life than it really was how they got to the moon. If you remember Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks, about the failed mission to go to the moon and how they had to abort it and how they got the guys back. And it was really, that movie was really about the greatness of science, right? It really took the sort of pocket protector glasses, math nerds, and made them superheroes because they were the guys that got these guys home. I mean, those were the guys that did not sleep until they got those guys home. They did every algebraic formula, calculus that they could to make sure that they got everything that they needed so they could make it home safely, and that they were the heroes of the story. That was great. That was a great Hollywood sort of version of how that actually went down. First Man about Neil Armstrong has a little bit of that, but it's really about Neil Armstrong's life. So, but I can't believe 50 years. 50 years. That'll be this week. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Still my question of the day. Do you really want an 18-game schedule? I know you've been asked that many times, but I feel like it's getting heated up now. There's a collective bargaining agreement that's coming up in the NFL. They don't think they're getting it in this time, but I guarantee you they're going to try to get it in next time. They'll do it over and over again. That's the way they're doing it. And also college football kicking off just around the corner. Bobby, how excited are people in Houston for Dana Holgorsen? With the Cougars.
I mean, people are excited.
Are they excited? That's a kind of a big coup, though.
Yeah, that is. I mean, we know as far as in Houston goes, as far as how the fast-paced offense is, since Kendall Briles did re-sign with the Houston Cougars as the offensive coordinator, it's going to be a high-octane offensive, juggernaut, how it was last season. So I think people in the American Conference, they just want to see it, and people who are Cougs fans, they just want to see how the team will play out. I mean, they have a tough first game against Oklahoma.
It really was a surprising move for Holgorsen to go from Big 12, West Virginia. Look, I mean, I always ask this about West Virginia, right? I mean, look, they can recruit. they can put together a good team. They can make the college football playoff if the cards fit and the cards fell right. It'll be harder for them than other schools, but you know, if the chips fell their way, they could go to the playoff. But in the AAC, you can win all of your games, as we've seen UCF do, and not get into this thing. And for him to say, no, I think there is a great program that is there, and I think we can overcome that obstacle with a great program. That's a really cool career move. Now, I know I think he's from that area, or he lived in that area at some point in his life and liked it a lot. So there was a little bit of that pull to go back. But that's a big deal to go from a Power 5 conference to a non-Power 5 conference where there are obstacles built against you, even if you're excellent, even if you're awesome, even if you are winning games. They beat Oklahoma, right? I don't care who you are. I don't care what conference you're in. If they were to beat Oklahoma and upset the Sooners, immediately those people in the committee, when it gets to January and they're unbeaten, let's say, you've got to put them in the playoff. You've got to put them in the rankings. You've got to make a statement that that's a big deal. You can't blow that off as, well, you play Tulsa. Well, what are you going to do, right? Oh, my God. You play in UConn. I can't. There's nothing we can do. You guys are playing easy schedule. Like, no, if you are in a conference where Memphis is pretty good, UCF is going to be good, UCF under Charlie Strong should be better, even though they had a 6-game losing skid last year. There are some good teams in that conference. Now, it's not the SEC. It's not the Big Ten. I get it. But you can still make the case that if you win a game like that against the Sooners and beat a Central Florida team, let's say, maybe even beat a team like, I don't know, Memphis or Cincinnati or anybody like that, Be in the conversation for a playoff. Don't do this thing where you're just catering to the Power Five, because that's a big deal. And I think Holgorsen sees a big city, a good football program, a good team can recruit in that state, and good things can start happening in the college football world with the AAC getting some notification, some recognition. Would do it. UCF, I was saying this in the last 2 years with the Knights, right? When Scott Frost was running it and then Josh Heupel was running it and they were making all this big noise. Should they be in? Should they be in? Should they be in? I kept saying this might just be in college football. Sometimes you need a team, almost not a sacrificial lamb. It's kind of a bad term, but you know what I'm getting at, where they laid the groundwork for respectability, but they don't get it themselves. Like, they're the team that does all of the legwork, right? They go undefeated. They take the barrage of the debate. They put themselves on the shoulder. And then you build on top of that. You build your conference on top of that. And even if they slide back a little bit, you know, some of the better players move on to the next level or whatever it is, and they slide back a little bit, they've laid the foundation. They've laid the groundwork for the debate to be real and the conversation be real. And rather than dismissive, people are starting to get more accepting. And I think that is what's going to start to happen to the AAC. I like the AAC as a conference. I really do. I just had a hard time sometimes with the debate being an undefeated UCF team against an undefeated, you know, Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma team, if they fit in that category. And you know, if you lose in that conference anywhere, I don't care where it is, if you lose anywhere, you almost get thrown off and dismissed. It's really, really difficult. We're really difficult. I mean, we dealt with this with Boise State forever under the old BCS days. Remember, oh God, all those years, Boise State was beating everybody, taking games no matter where it was, going on the road, winning games, right? And then you'd have all of these naysayers say the same thing over and over again. They don't belong, they don't belong, they don't belong. And then one magical night somewhere in the Mountain West Conference, a team like Nevada kicks a field goal and beats them or something, and then everybody goes, see, told you. All of those wins, all of the years of excellence, all of the blue turf commentary, throw it out the window. And that's what happens when you're in the AAC, when nobody says that if you're in the other conferences, right? Nobody says that. If Alabama loses at home to Ole Miss, oh, it's survivable. Absolutely. They're Alabama, for crying out loud. Even Oklahoma. Oklahoma can lose to Texas like they did last year, make the playoff. It's fine. Good, solid football team, top to bottom. But you don't get that when you're in the outside of the Power 5 conferences. You don't get the benefit of the doubt. You get told, you better. They did this to UCF last year, right? Last year. Their only loss was in their bowl game, right? They went undefeated during the regular season, and they lost Mackenzie Milton, and they were playing these teams that had them on their radar from day one. They would play, you know, close games, pull it out at the end, and then people went, nah, not satisfied. Not satisfied. Can't do it. It's kind of that is where the crux of a lot of the complaints about the playoff lies, right? Is that there is unfair expectation for some schools and other schools get a break. But that's just the way it is. When you're looking for the four best teams and you're being very judgmental and you have to analyze this objectively and there's no other way to do it, right? You can't do it by record. You can't do it by common opponents. You have to do it this way by eye test and just a feeling. And that's debates naturally going to occur. That's the way it is, right? But let me ask you guys this. Trevor Lawrence is outstanding. Dabo Sweeney's great. The defense for Clemson is going to be awesome. They've got a good team from top to bottom. Would you want them in the playoff if they lost to Wake Forest? Would you want them in the playoff if they lost to a rebuilding Florida State team? What about a Miami team? If they lose at any time during the ACC, would you still believe they're one of the top four teams in the country, like you would in Oklahoma, like you would in Alabama, heck, like you would in Ohio State? Because I'm telling you right now, they won't be. I guarantee you, they won't be. And you can tell me how great, like Florida State, for example, maybe year two, they finally find things that are working, and they were the Seminoles of old. Well, they better be really good if you're going to let Clemson get a pass for losing to them. And Miami better be really good, because if they were to upset Clemson, they better be really good. Same with any team in the ACC. I mean, listen, South Carolina could have a really good year. Really good year. Bentley could be a fantastic quarterback for Will Muschamp, and they could have a defense that rocks. If they upset Clemson, Clemson won't survive it. They won't survive it. Dabo knows it. He doesn't have the wiggle room that other schools do. He just doesn't. He doesn't have a conference that elicits that kind of respect. The SEC has done itself a great favor, and a lot of it's marketing, and a lot of it is the fact that there's excellence on the field. But the SEC for 20 years has been touting themselves as the best conference in college football, even when it had years where it clearly wasn't. They knew that the perception needed to be there time in and time out, time in and time out, time in and time out. Because under the old system, with there were voting and Harris polls and things like that, yep, we lost. But you know what? Of course, we're the SEC. This is the toughest conference in football. And people went, yeah, you know what? You're the toughest conference in football, so yeah. Right? Alabama has benefited twice in postseason by not playing in the SEC championship game. Why? Because, bam, it just means more. Whatever slogan the SEC has been using. The other conferences have never been able to do that. So if you are in the ACC and it doesn't feel as strong, you better not lose to Virginia Tech. And you better not lose to North Carolina. You better not. It just, that's the way it is. You better not. But I guarantee you, Nick Saban goes on the road, or even at home for that matter, to any of those teams in the West, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, whoever, except Arkansas. Sorry, Arkansas, but no. But any of those teams, if he loses, he can bounce back. Again, they sold it well, but they've also proven it well on the field. I mean, there's a lot of that too. But make no doubt about it, that slogan, it just means more. All of that sort of just marketing that they've done about their football, that is what they get today. The benefits of all that is what they get today. And today is, we can lose and we don't have to suffer for it, but if you lose, you do. And it's brilliant on their part. Brilliant on their part. 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio. It's a Monday on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. One little good note, at least I think it's good. Ryan Leaf has been hired by ESPN to be a college football analyst. I love his redemption story. I really do. I know he used to be on our network, and I got to meet him and talk to him at the Super Bowl. I follow him on Twitter. The amount of abuse he gets on Twitter is not unexpected. Twitter is that kind of land. He was a bust. He does not hide from that. He blew an unbelievable opportunity, and he blew it, and he admits it. He blew it. But all of his failings in life has He has turned his life around. He helps people with addiction. He dealt with his addiction. Went to jail, broke into a house to get pain pills. Went to jail, turned his life around. Is definitely not the same Ryan Leaf you remember. The guy that was screaming at the San Diego reporter and then did an apology and crumbled up and threw it in the corner. When you talk to him now, you see a really different guy, a guy that's really rededicated his life to something higher. And it's really, really cool to watch. I love those kind of stories. It's sad sometimes when guys have that story and then they relapse and they fall back down again. Dwight Gooden is going through that right now. Dwight Gooden was just arrested for cocaine possession. It's so sad. No matter how good he gets it, he gets his life on track, something occurs and he falls right back into the pit of addiction. It is really sad. I want nothing but the best for Dwight Gooden. As a young kid growing up watching baseball, Dwight Gooden was a major part of that. It just saddens me to see it. I know Daryl Strawberry has tried to reach out to try to help him. But Ryan Leaf's got a good story. He's got a good second half of his story, I should say. And a lot of times you don't realize until you really step out of your shoes and look at that person that you used to be. Sometimes a lot of us don't want to do that because we're afraid of what we'll see. Ryan Leaf was absolutely afraid of what he was going to see, but saw it anyway and changed it. And I tell you, talking to him at the Super Bowl on and off the air, I mean, it was a time where we chatted off the air for a while. It's amazing how he handles everybody that wants. I mean, the natural question is, you had it all. You were the number two pick in the draft. You had millions of dollars, big signing bonus. You had everything in front of you, franchise quarterback, et cetera, all the talent in the world. How did you blow it? He never shies away from that. He never gets tired of telling his story. He never gets tired of saying, you know what? I did have it all and I lost it, but I'm getting it back. And I want to tell people, you don't have to lose it. Get help now. Good for Ryan Leaf. I'm proud of him.